Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Somebody said you are wonderful. You are marvelous. At all times and in all places, oh God, you are good. Be good to us here this morning. Speak to our hearts, oh God. We need a word from you. Amen. Have your way, okay? In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Yeah, keep that baby in here. Good to have a witness. This past week, as I prayerfully considered what God might want me to share with you this morning, I began to look at various passages that have been on my heart, I've been intrigued with lately. As I was reading one of those particular chapters, it was as if out of nowhere, the number 40 just dropped. It kind of slapped me in my face. And so I don't know, may somebody turning 40 in here? My first instinct was to search for meaning in that number from a biblical perspective. 40. Was there a chapter 40 in the Bible that God wanted me to share? Thought also about, I'm into kind of numerology from a biblical perspective. I think numbers have meaning. And I thought, where does this number 40 show a common theme throughout the Bible? And I even thought of historical and current uses of the word 40. 40 acres and a mule. 40 ounce. For where I grew up, talking about 40 ounces. And folks would hang out and just be common to say, I'm going to get a 40. 40. What does this number mean? 40. 40 is 10 cents short of 50. 50 cent. There's a lot to do about the number 50, but we're 10 cents short. And then as I thought about this from the whole historical context of the biblical text, I saw that there is a common theme around the number 40. In Noah's time, God caused it to rain for 40 days and 40 nights to destroy all living creatures in the world. In essence, though it meant death to so much life, and in that sense, people say God destroyed the world through floods. He actually was also cleansing the world and purifying it of its evil. Moses, he fled to Midian for 40 years after he killed the Egyptian. 40 years. And Moses was on Mount Sinai 40 days and nights, while the Israelites were in the valley creating the golden calf. Ironically, he comes from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, which says, thou shalt not make unto me any graven image or any likeness of any kind. I'm the Lord your God, and thou should serve me and me alone. 40. The Israelites, as we all know, wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. I believe in that 40 years, a whole generation died in the desert, except Joshua and Caleb, who would go into paradise, as it were. The spies that went into Canaan were there for 40 days. Some came back kind of with their own report, but I believe it was Joshua and Caleb that came back with the report of the Lord. Who shall believe the report of the Lord? Goliath taunted Saul's army for 40 days before being slain by David. This big mouth giant. Isn't that how the devil is? Will taunt you and ask you, who's your God? Before he was slain by a little shepherd boy, obviously with guns, David. Well, fleeing from Jezebel, Elijah traveled 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, where he actually hid in a cave. A woman will drive you nuts. In this case, it was Jezebel. 40 days and 40 nights. That's a lot of running. That's a powerful sister. I'm telling you. And Elijah wanted nothing to do with her. He traveled, and I believe he was there hiding in a cave. Hiding in a cave. Many lessons to be learned throughout this common theme of 40 days, 40 years. For the people of Israel, they spent 40 years, it's hard for me to believe, traveling in the wilderness, in the desert. And Moses, by running from the call of God, ended up spending 40 years before the 40 years in Midian. So in that case, the 40 years, I believe, was a time of preparation for Moses. He needed to be prepared to deal with those black folks in the desert, because they, I believe, grieved him sorely, as the Bible might say. Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. Another aspect of preparation, though it wasn't easy, it was preparing him for the journey that he would take for the next 3 years. The law, in the law, it specified that the maximum number of lashes that a man could receive for committing a crime was set at the limit of 40 lashes. There, 40 represents punishment. And there were 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension back to be with the Father. No matter what you think, we can get some lessons from looking at this number 40. Maybe we can read too much into it as well. But it represents a season or a set time of going through a specific ordeal. And often it is a difficult ordeal. And it 40 might represent a period of time that's set aside for shaping us, or maybe a duration of time that we've brought on ourselves because of our disobedience and our sin unto God. Represents a time of going through. Anybody ever going through? And perhaps someone is going through today, going through. I don't want to put her on the spot, but it's easy to do when I have a mic in my hand. But I believe just recently my wife was saying something about going through. Going through. And then she stopped and she said, but I'm going through. But I'm going through. Going through is never intended to keep you there. And in my optimistic world, I would change the words going through to going to. So that sure, we spent 40 years in the wilderness, in the desert, in the dry place, in the rugged place, going through tough and rough things, but God has a paradise waiting for us. He has a promised land to give us after we have gone through. That going to might be your promised land. It might be your life mission that God is calling you to. A new season in your life. A new look and a life transformation. Perhaps it represents the end of a difficult time and a difficult place. An entrance into a new and exciting adventures or experiences. God is bringing someone in here to new ground. I believe what God wants us to hear today is found in Isaiah chapter 40. Can you imagine? Just three verses. I can read the whole chapter. Isaiah is my favorite book in the Bible. I believe Isaiah is a book of encouragement. It's a book of enlightenment. It's a book where God speaks to us personally. Here in chapter 40, the chapter begins by saying, God saying, comfort to the prophet. Comfort my people, says your God. Comfort. Comfort my, yes. Comfort. Now, I don't know. I used to go to church, and, you know, it all didn't stick for me. But I remember going to a Pentecostal church. They were, by their own verbiage, kind of a unique and set aside Pentecostal church. But if you couldn't be born in it. You know, you couldn't join in it, I'm sorry, but you had to be born in it. And when hearing some of those strong messages, I oftentimes would be nervous sitting in my seat. I'd be scared when it was time for the preacher to get up, because he pretty much was going to tell me all the reasons why I wasn't going to go to heaven. But God says here, comfort, and he means it, so he says it twice. Comfort, comfort my people. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Then he says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. And proclaim her that her hard service, her rough time, so to speak, has been completed. I can't sing, but I'd love to sing I think it's Kirk Franklin. It's over now. It's over now. It's completed. It's done. That her sin has been paid for, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Comfort, comfort my people. Now, in its context here, Isaiah is envisioning the fall of Judah to the Babylonian army and the people of Judah being taken off to exile to Babylon. This will be a rough and painful debacle for the people of God. There will be much pain, much hurting, much sorrow. And thus there will be a great need for comfort for these troubled and defeated people. Trouble and defeat that they actually have brought upon themselves. Their own sin and rebellion against God had led to them being conquered and driven out of the land. And that's the situation the prophet Isaiah is addressing here. But really, the prophecy applies to God's people in any age. It applies to God's people in this room today. For we too have sinned. The scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have experienced the consequences of our sin. And so we too need the comfort that is the word of God, the word that God speaks to us and the word that he provides here. So how do we prepare? How do we receive this comfort? Verse 3 says that a voice of one calling. Isn't God good? He'll give us his voice. He'll speak to us in the wilderness. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way. I know what you've been through. I know what you're going through, but prepare a way for the Lord. See him coming. Lift up your heads. The scripture says, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, because the King of glory shall come in. And who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Voice in the desert saying, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Knock down some trees, trim some bushes, shovel the ground, make a path, dig those weeds and all those things that have been choking your life for so long. It's time to dig deep and make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. In every valley shall be raised, and every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Amen. speak, Lord. This scripture is a prophecy. And it speaks when it says, prepare the way of the Lord. Isaiah is prophesying of the ministry of John the Baptist, who came preaching repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John was a way preparer. He was a forerunner of the Lord. And John came also preparing this baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That baptism that says that we're buried with Christ. Our sins are buried, but we rise with newness of life. He said, I'm going to baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me who shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I don't know about you, but I need water's cool. And water is very significant. But I need fire. I need fire to burn up all the dross in my life. Fire to purify me so that I am pure gold. Do you feel and know your sins and your sinfulness? That's another easy thing to do for me in the past, is to come to church and dress up nice and look like everything is okay, when on the inside and in my real day-to-day life, I was a serious mess. Serious mess. But I learned to just let it all hang out. You can't tell nothing on me, because I'm going to let it be known. Without God in my life, I'm a mess. So I lean and depend on him. I love my wife. I love my life because I got a happy wife. But I'll tell you, if I turn my eyes away from the Lord God, if I allow myself to be teased and tempted, I'm one step away from a mess. If I pick up the wrong substance, put the wrong stuff to my lips, I'm subject to be in a serious mess. So I realize the nature of my sin, and I also realize that I need this Christ that came to give me life. And so we mourn our sins, and we're caught up in the guilt and in the weight of our sins at times. But the scripture says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Comfort my people. God himself comes to us. He comes with all his might and with all his strength, but in his might and his strength, it is wrapped in gentleness. It is wrapped in humility. It's the good shepherd he is. He's our shepherd, and we know he is the Christ, the Holy One of God, a King that came, a Savior that came, a God that came and wrapped himself in flesh so that he can feel the nature of our struggle. And the scripture says he was in at all points tempted just like us, but yet he was without sin. our King, came to tenderly rule over us. And when he gives comfort, he gives comfort. That's why you have to say it twice. But yet, he endured such great persecution. Oh God. That's why it's so important to not play with this thing. Because God, and many times we kind of think about this good, sweet, gentle Jesus to an extreme point where we want him to continue to be a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. But we don't realize what the manger really looks like or smells like. There's manure around the place. This Jesus who has just been born is a bloody Jesus. He cried on his way out. Well, I don't know if he did. But most babies do. The time of gestation of a woman's pregnancy is 40 months. 40 weeks, I'm sorry. Boy, she'd be doing some gestation. It's like, what's up, baby? I'm still gestating. But this Jesus looked at sin upon mankind and said, it's so serious to deal with this that I must give my entire life. So he paid a debt that he did not owe. And he died for us. Through him, the power of sin is broken. Death has been dealt with. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to save humanity. And that is very powerful. The fact that our sins are forgiven. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has ended, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. I'm going to wrap this up. On the topic of comfort, I just want to take you to one more scripture in 2 Corinthians. How are we doing? We're good. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm in 1 Corinthians, 2nd would help, wouldn't it? 2nd, I'm sorry, I was in the wrong place, not you. Chapter 1, and if I was sitting down there, I'd just be looking up. are we there? Okay, so just verses 3 through 5. Oh, I'm in chapter 3. Okay, here we go. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ, our comfort overflows. God, I pray for overflowing comfort for your people, oh God. Let your comfort overflow on the inside. to deal with fear and anxiety. Let your comfort flow. Let it flow not on the inside to a closed vessel, but let it flow into an open vessel where it will permeate their lives and create a flow in the lives of others, their children, their loved ones, their friends, their families. Let your comfort flow, O God. Paul encouraged this group of Corinthians, people who lived in a town called Corinth. And he reminded them that the afflictions were inevitable for the followers of Christ. And many were being persecuted, they were being imprisoned and oppressed, all because of their relationship with Jesus. And Paul wanted the Corinthians to know that in the midst of their trouble, God was their source of help. He would come to their side and help them to have godly responses. Then Paul gave the reason God allowed suffering in verse 4. Where he said, who comforts us in all our troubles? And the reason is that we can comfort those who are in any trouble. And so God would give us the empathy to be able to look into other people's sorrows and to offer comfort to them. We usually say, ain't nobody got time for that. But God is calling us to have time, to have an open ear, to be an open vessel, to be used by him. Too often, church is me-centered. We come to get what we need. And if the church isn't tricky enough, if they don't practice enough during the week for the Sunday service, if they don't have the right type of children's ministry, then we take our marbles and we go look for a place that's going to meet all of our needs. But God has given us this comfort, and by comfort, I don't think he's trying to just make us comfortable. He's trying to make us complete and whole, satisfied and content with where we're at, so that we can comfort others. 40, perhaps a season of difficulty, a time for shaping our lives, a time that we're suffering the consequence of our disobedience. It represents a time of going through, or as we said, going to our promised land, our entering into our life mission, entering to a new season and a new look and a life transformation. We talked about the baby in the womb. 40 months. I mean, weeks. Just say it if you're listening. 40 weeks in the womb. I don't know. Is that a cool, comfortable time? I don't know if I want to be sitting all that time in slime and stuff, moving around and I think having somebody like, you know, emotional, you know, like, no. And, you know, just going through. Basically, that's what happens, right? And pickles and lemons and all that stuff. So I imagine it probably ain't easy. And then you break off from that into an entirely new season. Wow. Which may not be exciting. It might be scary, you know, as you travel through the, and then whoop, and you're like, ah! scary but exciting. Moses, all those 40 years. He went to multiple 40 years. How old was he? He was 90 or something. How, he must have been 100 and something when he was told, you're not going in the promised land. And we have to be careful that in our 40, that we don't make it all about us. Because the 40, the season of preparation, the season of pain and hardship and trouble that we've all experienced, that time is for you, but it's not for you. And Moses, it really was. I used you to call other people into their destiny. And even when Christ came, he said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of my Father that sent me. And then he spoke to us, his people, and he said, Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So that same attitude of humility and attitude of doing it for others and being willing to sacrifice himself in order to do it. And so the purpose is to comfort others. And that's why we've stopped by today. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Let's pray. Father, do that in this place. Strengthen, O God, every heart, every soul, every body in this place, O God. Strengthen. And, O God, be the lifter of our heads. Encourage us, O God. Infiltrate our lives with courage. And give us your peace, your comfort, O God, which really represents the contentment in you, because it's in you we live and move and have our being. Blessings and comfort be unto you, his people. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.